and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
The fact that every politician respects voters, and we have enough because
the city
voting power here.
Politics, progress, game boards, objects viewed like pawns to be change up our mindset. Value of the dollars at the center of this conflict. Their lives only matter if they serve to make a profit. But if a midget sees further on the shoulders of the giant, then we should see further than the tyrant and build a future within alliance. With success is our science in the quest to go higher. It's the heart of the city.
Wake up, world. You're listening to the heart of the city. Happy Wednesday. I'm your host, Malik Boyd. I hope that wherever you are in good spirits and all is truly well. The show topic today, ready for the future. The studio is jam-packed with all kinds of talent, perspective, experience. I'm really excited about this show. Dr. Ayanna Howard will be calling in, Joanna Northern, Bernard Hamilton, Tiara Council, and I'm excited about this brother sitting to my right. If you're watching the live stream, Pastor Danny Sutton, the senior pastor of Kingdom Life Church Ministries right here in the footprint of Philadelphia. Now, you've heard him pray and give us our two-minute prayer for the city. I'm excited because today he's sitting in for the EKG. We're going to get some of that center chair perspective on a lot of the issues that are facing not just the city of Philadelphia, but the country. Without further ado, I want to give a warm in-studio shout out and welcome to Pastor Danny Sutton. It's an absolute pleasure having you on Heart of the City.
Malik, it's a pleasure just to be here. I'm glad to finally be in the studio.
Absolutely. We've been looking forward to it.
Same here.
So you know the issues. And specifically in Philadelphia, we're dealing with the Michael White case, which has come up today. And there's going to be some activity around the beginning of that. The DA has already decided his outlook and beginning to take perspective. Prosecutors have reduced from first degree murder down to third degree.
Right.
But they still have placed in an instrument of a crime, involuntary manslaughter, some of their charges. Okay. But the culture of the country is still in turmoil.
And ridiculously much turmoil, should I say. I think that we're going to be faced with many challenges where we're kind of going backwards instead of going forward, in a sense. I just remember days of history, just reading of the things that happened during the time of civil rights leaders such as Dr. King and Arthur Abernathy and others who were champions for our movement. And I think that we are put in a position now where we have to kind of go back to those one-on-one grassroots environment, conversations that we can see change, not to go against anything that we would do publicized or in a big body, but for these changes to really come, I think it's a home situation. It's something you got to deal with from home to home, and from house to house. And for our particular area, it's a challenging thing to deal with because there are different homes that are teaching different things.
That's a whole nother challenge. Right.
And that just kind of messes us all up. Whereas in my coming up, everything kind of ran through the church. There was nothing that didn't happen. We voted at our churches.
Absolutely.
Community meetings took places at our churches. Conferences would happen at our churches. But now that's not the center place anymore for people to kind of go, which means that the mentality has kind of shifted. And I think that we have to kind of raise back up that beacon so that folk can know where they should come and address the concerns that need to be addressed in our community, in our way.
Absolutely.
I think that's important.
And having our spin and perspective on it.
Right? Yeah, very true.
Because there are many solutions that come our way that do not reflect our perspective.
Yeah, and that's a challenging thing. It's almost like getting someone to police your area who doesn't know your area. It's the same thing. And, you know, it's hard to really to do that if you're not in there and understand the culture or the fabric of that environment to know how to speak to it.
Absolutely. So you know all those issues. The beautiful thing about your area of the kingdom and what God has allowed you to do, you're on the street. You're in the community.
Yes.
You're not hiding behind the four walls, but outside of those walls and doing the work. And so you know the challenges of the families across the board and various walks of life. Because being a Christian and, you know, I really
keep trying to drive this home. Being a Christian does not mean isolate yourself from those who believe different than you.
Very true.
The big aspect of being a Christian is being able to be you.
That's right.
In front of.
That's right. Very true. I'm in it, but I'm not of it.
Yeah,
that's all.
There you go. There you go. And so, we're going to ask you to lead us because we have much to talk about, a powerful EKG section, but I want to start off properly as we always do. We lead off in prayer.
Yes, sir.
And so I'd like for you to take us into our 2-minute prayer for the city.
I think, and just before I pray, I want to just acknowledge that I think you hit it on the head when you mentioned the perspective. Mm-hmm. And I really believe that everything that we do hangs on the hinges of a perspective. Your perspective creates your reality.
Absolutely.
How you view a thing can determine whether it'll handle you or you will handle it.
Yeah.
And I celebrate this moment that we can just take and make sure that our perspective is right as it relates to how we view who controls all of this.
Absolutely.
And how we see him, because how we see him will determine ultimately how we connect with others and even how we'll see others. So let's pray about that. Father in heaven, I'm so grateful and thankful for this moment we have to come to your throne again just to say thank you. We're appreciative of everything you have done for us. We're thankful for a brand new day you have given us, and we're thankful for the opportunities in it. Now, Lord, our prayer is that you would continue to guide us and give us clear direction for where we are headed. Give us, as your word declares, witty inventions to tackle new realities and to speak to new concepts. I lift up every area of our legislative branches from the national all the way down to local level, that you would give us clarity. And Lord, that you would even soften the heart of those who are serving in those positions. Lord, show them and send them the right ones in their circles that would lead us and cause them to make decisions that would make us better and not make us worse. I lift up every father and mother in our area and pray that you would give them strength and fortitude to continue to be what they need to be in a trying world dealing with trying times. And Lord, we believe you for great things to happen with our youth, great things to happen even in our city. And our prayer is that you would make ways that only you can make. We seek you for great things, knowing that great things can happen. For your word said, greater work shall we do, that those would follow you. And I pray that that would become our witness as we stand in this world. Bless us in all ways of being blessed. And Lord, continue to make your name great and give us all opportunity to promote it. We do this all in the name of Jesus, hoping you get glory, honor, and praise out of it. Amen.
Amen. So, Pastor, tell the listening audience where they can fellowship with you and the body.
The Kingdom Life Church ministries, we're located 770 West Tabor Road. We're in the Logan section of the city, not too far behind Einstein Hospital's complex. Our church campus is there. I now can say our church is becoming a little not just generational, but our church is becoming multicultural.
Beautiful.
And we're thankful absolutely thankful about that. There was a few things about our area I didn't know upon moving there, that's kind of like a hotbed for many different ethnicities.
Yes,
it's about 40 different nationalities just in that,
right in that pocket.
Right in that pocket alone. And so we're grateful to do ministry there. And our focus is just to promote the name of God and promote the kingdom of God, not a single agenda other than the mission of Christ.
There it is. Make sure if you're in that area, you're in the footprint, you check out Kingdom Life, a beautiful worship experience, a beautiful branch of the body, led by none other than Pastor Danny Sutton. I promise you it's a worship experience, that is one to remember for sure.
You have a great time.
It is going to be a great time. We're going to a break. On the other side, ready for the future, Dr. Ayanna Howard, Jonana Northerner, Bernard Hamilton. You know him from our financial segment throughout the week. And Tiara Council. You remember her particular topic and her energy that came around feeding. And we're going to address that because the future is in some areas that we simply do not pay attention to. We graduate folk. We want them to have communication degrees. Go be a doctor. Go be a lawyer. Nobody talks about how to make sure the food gets into the community. Nobody talks about healthy food until you get to the supermarket and recognize that none of it is up to par. So we're going to talk about all those things and how to make sure that we have sustainable communities for time to come. The show ready for the future. Take out your stethoscope. Place it on a radio dial. You are listening to The Heart of the City. Hi, this is Malik Boyd, the host of The Heart of the City radio show. Have you been injured at work?
Work injuries create a great deal of stress and financial hardship for the entire family. Uniting the City Easy Scripts is a national home delivery pharmacy service helping injured workers with all of their medication and medical equipment needs. They remove the problems injured workers have filling their prescriptions. And with their free home delivery and no out-of-pocket expenses for medications, Uniting the City Easy Scripts makes it easier for injured workers to focus on getting better and taking care of their families. Enrollment is quick and easy. Call a Uniting the City Easy Scripts customer care specialist today and let them take this burden off your shoulders. The call is free. 855-729-3939. That's 855-729-3939. 3939.
Paid for by Easy Scripts Pharmacy.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that, overall, you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't seen your lap in months. And even more stuff. But still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed. And they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs. And it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover keytar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff. Create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
We're back. You're listening. We're back. You're listening to the Heart of the City. I'm trying to figure out this the headphone ministry today. Lots going on the volume side. Listen, let's get right into this, Brett. There's so much going on today. We have Pastor Danny Sutton. I'm going to get right into our EKG. So, Brett, fire up the EKG. This is the EKG, the part of the show where we place the country, America as we know it, on the radio dial. Now, we'll monitor the heart of the issue. We'll look for any irregularities in America's heartbeat. Now, we'll offer some basic solutions and even surgery in some cases in hopes that we can remove the blockages and help make America healthy once again. And so, Brett, fire up the machine and let's start the EKG. First story. Now, Pastor, when I read this out in the production booth, we both nodded our head. And so let's dig into this. Yeah. Time.com reports that there are many rich minorities. Mm. So why are there no black Koch brothers? Mm. And so they start right off. I mean, they go right in. Media mogul Oprah Winfrey is worth $3 billion, period. Okay. Basketball legend turned businessman Michael Jordan's net worth is a reported $1.65 billion, period. Businessman and philanthropist Robert Smith is worth more than both of them with a estimated net value of $4 billion plus, period. All three black billionaires are known as generous philanthropists, but not big political givers. They are rarely mentioned in the same breath as the political mega donors Charles and David Koch, and George Soros and Tom Steyer. And so they also talk about the fact that they're not anomalies. Okay. And so the nation's wealthiest African Americans are, from a corporate perspective, decidedly reluctant campaign contributors. Completely, and I want everybody to understand this because these aren't my words. And I tell you all the time, I'm like LeVar Burton. Don't take my word for it. This will be posted, okay? They almost completely cede the rarefied rank of political mega donor to older white men.
Wow.
And that's not Time's analysis. That is the Center for Public Integrity's analysis.
Yikes.
So let's dig into this. I mean, because we have things like Black PAC, we have the Black Economic Alliance, we have the Asian American Victory Fund, Collective PAC. We have all of these groups. And if you are in the hood, if you've gotten a haircut on the block, right, we know that there are tons of organizations inside of our community that are actively engaged in politics. However, it becomes clear more and more that we rely on telling folk to get out the vote, not to get out their checkbook.
Very true.
And as a result, and this is my personal opinion, guys, so you can Facebook me about this, okay? That's why you lose a midterm in 2012 and create a lame duck president. That's why even locally you put a governor in, and by midterms, if you haven't protected a lead in the House or the Senate, you get the flip. And all of a sudden that person is stifled for the rest of their term, because money is the mother's milk of politics. It's great to vote and put someone in play. It's almost like drafting LeBron James straight out of high school. And you give him a jersey and you give him a locker. And Nike gives him his sneaks. You do all the television commercials. It's game time. And you don't give him a basketball.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think is going to come out of that?
I think what you were speaking of is more so motive than it is method. Because just Oprah and Michael Jordan alone, that their focus, even as them building their own brand, was to kind of reach community personally, I think, more so than on a political scale. Even recently when they were talking to her a couple months back about, you know, whether she would run for office and things of that nature. Yeah, I think we're so absent from the political process when it doesn't affect us at home personally that we don't know to put our dollars, that I put our dollars there. Then the other issue I think that we got to really address is that if I don't have a dollar to give, I'm not even looking in that vein. Those are stars in the sense of who they expect to be more politically minded, but that's not who they are in that sense, you know. And I don't think I know our new president, Lord help for saying this, but I know he's kind of opened up a door where it seems as if you're a celebrity, you can do this, but they don't view these individuals we're talking about don't view it this way. I think they support in other arenas that aren't necessarily publicized the way they should be. I really think it's all motive. Yeah. I really think it's all motive.
And so, and here's another, you know, and you brought up a great point. Are we at a point where we expect our athletes to be our saviors?
And it's a big problem. When I was younger, I remember I was a Sixers / Chicago Bulls fan. Y'all don't hang on me.
I'm with you. I'm there with you.
You there with me. Yeah. Okay, so I remember Charles Barkley when he was here, and he was adamant about saying, I'm not your role model.
Yeah.
And it was taken in the wrong context, but I grew up in a household where that's what they told us. They're not your role models. You might want to do what they're doing, but don't make that the way of your, a way of your living. Cause not only is the world and times changing, but what they're in is not what you're in.
Yeah.
And I think that's important that we kind of flip that script a little bit. I'll give you another example of it. Mm-hmm. Most kids, I was at a school earlier this year, and most of the guys, they all wanted to play sports. I want to play basketball. I want to play football. I want to go to NBA. I want to go to NFL. And it sounds good to say, but where's the reality? Somebody saying, okay, now listen, only maybe 1 or 2% actually make it to that league.
One out of 220 something thousand.
Come on.
For the NFL.
It's not going to
almost one in a million.
Not
going to
happen.
Basketball.
I really think it hangs on the hinges of how we expose, particularly our young people, or and our generation, so to speak, to something greater. When I was younger, I think I may have told you this before, when I was younger, my grandfather, he passed out here 20 years. Mm. On Martin Luther King's birthday, we would have to come to the church at about 8 a.m. They would have coffee and donuts and all that kind of thing, hot chocolate. Yeah. And then we would go to the Spectrum. You remember the Spectrum?
Oh, I remember.
We would go to the Spectrum, and in the morning we had to be there at 9, and they gave us a tour of the facility. At that time, it was just the Flyers. I think the Wings were just kind of coming out, and the Sixers, of course, was in the Spectrum. We're going all around, and I'm meeting all the executives. It was about maybe maybe 35, 40 of us. Here's what one of the gentlemen said to us. He said, okay, we brought you guys here this morning to give you this tour because we wanted you to know how the game is put on. You know, what goes on behind the game. And here's his statement. You can either play on the floor or you can own the floor.
There you go.
Now, if that perspective isn't given to you, if you're not offered that, if no one's telling you that, then you run the risk of wishing for something and hoping for something that you might not get a chance to, and actually really minimizing yourself because you could possibly go further and beyond that.
So, you're hitting a real sweet spot. So, as a music artist, all I wanted to do was to hit the stage.
Okay.
I came up in a musical family. I was managed by Kool from Kool and the Gang. Like, I had some very rich mentors in my space. I'll never forget, and shout out to Daryl Shuler. I tell this story all the time. DS was instrumental in getting me into some major places and seeing some folk rise. And so I sat in Butch Lewis's office. God rest his soul, late Butch Lewis, boxing promoter, Michael Spinks, the whole nine. Okay. Many do not know he was somewhat the muscle for Bob Johnson behind BET.
Really?
And so even when you talk about Sita's World, remember Sita's World, the first digital video show? That was, Sita was Butch's daughter. So, I mean, he was actively involved in a lot of BET stuff, right? And so I'm sitting in his amazing office, and I just came from Motown, and Motown said, look, you know, we like what you're doing, but our roster is full, but go over to BET because BET is starting a new label. I get there. Butch, you know, starts talking to me about music and career, and he's asking me questions that have nothing to do with the industry. And I'm like, dude, I'm here to get a deal. I don't really care about some of this other stuff we're talking about. So he pulls up a stogie. This is back when you could smoke in buildings, right? So he says, you know, young buck, let me tell you a story. He said there was a man with a music box, and that music box was attached to a pole. Mm-hmm. He said, and this man would go to the corner, and he had a well-dressed monkey that was attached to a string. And that string was attached to the music box. And the man would stand on that corner and crank that music box, and it would make beautiful music, and that monkey would dance. He said people would come past and they'd give the man money and he'd give the monkey all the peanuts that he could eat. So years later, monkey got old and died. What do you think that man did? I'm like, I don't care because I want to sign a record deal, right? He said, he just went and got another monkey. Mm. Which one do you want to be, the man or the monkey?
Wow.
And it changed my whole perspective in music.
Wow.
You know, it was like, nah, I can't just sit here and sing. If I'm going to sing on the mic, I need to at least own some of the components that that voice is going through.
Right.
I have to, you know, I got to touch this thing from multiple angles,
right?
But that's something that we don't, we have some barbershop conversation about it, but we don't have institutional conversation about that. And then we rely on the LeBron James, and it's great what LeBron just did. Phenomenal.
Applaud it.
But LeBron can't save all of Cleveland.
Not everybody.
Save Ohio, you know.
Not everybody.
No different than, you know, our respective stars in Philadelphia and in some of these other cities. They can't save the city.
Mm-hmm.
It takes everybody to kind of change their mindset.
And chip in and do what you can do. I often say you don't have to do everything, but you can do something.
Mm.
Just do something. There's something you can do.
So, guys, you heard it from Pastor Sutton. You don't have to do everything, but you can do something.
Yeah.
That something is putting a little dollar behind a candidate. You can't get mad when a candidate becomes hamstringed because he came in with your agenda or she came in with your agenda, but other agendas took over because they have money behind them.
That's very true.
All right. And a politician's job, I said this to you guys last week and I said it the week before and I keep saying it every week. A politician's job is to get elected. That's their job. All right. They carry your agenda upon election.
Mm-hmm.
But their primary job is to get elected because they can't be a politician if they're not in the office.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
And so when you help them get into office and help them alleviate some of the stress around dealing with getting to office, mm-hmm. it makes it easier for them to follow your agenda.
Oh, definitely. Absolutely.
And there's nothing like having your name on the donors list.
Oh, absolutely. Listen, they're going to remember that because they know how they got there.
Absolutely.
They do know how they got there.
Absolutely. So pay attention to the wisdom of Pastor Danny Sutton. Get involved. You don't have to do everything.
No, just do something.
Do something. Please. Let's go to the next EKG, Brett. The violins are playing. The orchestra has begun its overture because the white driver who followed a particular black man in Ohio and called him slurs, followed him to his house, you know, and proceeded to berate this man is now whining. Let me take that word out because actually, you know, that's the title of the article, which I think is, you know, they're kind of inflaming the situation. I will be more politically correct. He now has grave concerns about his life being ruined. Now, Columbus, Dispatch reports, you know, that Whitman, this man, Jeffrey Whitman, says, look, what I did was an awful mistake. And obviously, I don't know how to explain it, but it's ruined my life and it's ruined my family's life. And I'm out of business and I'm completely done. I'll never work in Columbus again. Mm. But so let me ask you, Pastor, because I got to
come on.
I'm struggling with this thing, even as a young minister. It's like, all right, on one hand, here's an opportunity to love on this man and show him a very Christ-like reaction, right?
I got you.
Mm-hmm. On the other side,
mm-hmm.
okay? And I don't know if it's all the way on the other side, but somewhere in the mix of my box of feelings, okay? Mm-hmm. Didn't you walk into that
mm-hmm.
when you called that man the N-word and voluntarily decided to follow him 2 miles to his home? And proceeded to berate him at his house. I mean,
you invited this.
Yeah, come on.
You invited this.
You asked for that one.
I think you know what's interesting, Malik? I think that, especially with this whole racial conversation, as long as it was behind closed doors,
yeah,
they could control the narrative.
Right.
You can control which way it went.
Right.
The moment it became public, and who they expected to be in their corners were
right.
not.
Right.
It changes pretty much everything. I think that sometimes God, I believe he has a sense of humor, mm-hmm. that he'll give you a little glimpse of what we've been dealing with. You've got it for 10, 15 minutes.
Come on.
But
we've been
living this for
a long
time. I don't think that our compassion for him and our Christ-like response to him absolves him of the responsibility that he needs to accept and has to deal with and the consequences that come from that, mm-hmm. from those actions. Mm-hmm. And once again, that goes back to what we were talking about earlier. That starts from home.
It really does. It really does.
That starts from home. Really There's no does. Other way to say that.
And I tell folk all the time, we complain about what's happening in this environment. And this is my personal belief. Guys, my personal belief, we're not going to solve and really soothe the issues and the bruises that come from race. Not in my generation.
Oh. Hmm.
I don't think we're going to solve it in the next generation. I think it's going to be the generation after that that begins to have, you know, some kind of conversation that really ends up in a solution. And the reason why I say that, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
It's only been 50 or so years before we were getting hit going across the Pettus Bridge. You know what I mean? Like, we were getting billy clubs.
It's still fresh in your opinion.
There are folk who are still alive who were involved in some of that
mm-hmm.
against us mm-hmm. as a culture.
I understand.
Those individuals, their kids are our age.
Right.
Right? So,
right.
so they were trained to have that particular thing.
Mindset.
But they yeah. also have children now, as do we.
Mm-hmm.
And those children have the remnants of that. You know, and so we see generationally that it's slowly declining and the environment is changing. But I'm almost hard pressed to believe that we're gonna see it in this generation.
I don't know if so. I just found out. I thought I wasn't, but I'm classified as a millennial.
Okay.
All right.
Look at God.
You look good.
Favors all on your
listen,
life.
Listen, it's all right. I'm accepted.
Yes, sir.
But I like to say I was born on both sides though, because I remember when TV went off.
Yeah.
And the Star Spangled Banner.
Come
on. You know.
The color line. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I remember that. And oh, say, can you see? Mm-hmm. I've got that. But I also remember when this whole like digital age, when the music started to kind of shift.
Yeah.
And it shifted the entire culture of everything. Here's why I bring that up. I bring that up because I think that those type of things have had a great influence on our racial perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Just think about people like Eminem,
mm-hmm.
who no one would think, if you just look at him, you wouldn't think that he would have that soul that he, that's kind of soul that he has.
And coming from 8 Mile.
There you go, right, at that. Right. So I'm not too sure. I can kind of concur with you on that, whether it happens in this generation or the next. And to be real, I think that to some people in my generation, they mm-hmm. don't even want to have the conversation because it's not something that they've been plagued with.
It's bruising.
Oh, yeah.
It's bruising.
Yeah. They don't even want to face it.
And some will tell us, quite frankly, look, that happened in the past.
They're quick to say that.
You know?
But they don't have the wound from it.
No.
So they don't understand it.
They really don't understand it. Brett, let's go to the next EKG, Brett. Now, this one I love. All right. Okay. So normally, Pastor Sutton, we are talking about some really deep issues and we've got to dig deep, some invasive surgery. Right.
Right.
But this one we can celebrate flat out. This is the St. Louis American. They are reporting this. And I love pulling from sources of areas in which they listen to our broadcast.
Okay.
It's easy to pull from CNN and Time, but I love getting perspective of local publications. And so St. Louis Stand Up, I'm using the St. Louis American as the source. The title, Because of Beyonce. Now, that hit me right there.
Wow.
Because of Beyonce.
Beyonce.
Okay, we're going to wrap with that. Because of Beyonce, a black photographer will reportedly shoot Vogue's cover for the first time.
Wow.
In 126 years.
Wow. That's a great accomplishment.
It really is. It really is.
I
don't necessarily like starting stuff off with Because of Beyonce.
Right, but
but if that's how we got to do it,
yeah,
okay?
Yeah, that's
126 years.
That is awesome. That is extremely awesome. Now, you just made a comment. You say because you don't like to start it off because of Beyonce, but I want to kind of play the advocate
Let's do it. Let's do it.
I don't think we cannot celebrate that she was able to be in a position to really open that kind of door.
Agreed, fully. Absolutely.
And I think that this is what I believe people like her and Oprah and Michael Jordan and others who mm-hmm. have that mogul fame in mm-hmm. a sense. I think that's the stuff that they're able to do that if you didn't mention it, I wouldn't have known.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? That doesn't get that type of notoriety.
Right.
And her ability to be able to transcend through really generations and a decade to stay where she is to the point where people are so gravitated to her, and then she can call her own shots,
mm-hmm.
open up the door
mm-hmm.
for that type of involvement.
And listen, Vogue does not give.
Oh, no.
I mean, they gave total control of this magazine. So not just the cover, they gave total control. So literally she gets a chance to kind of just flavor the magazine.
Oh, that is phenomenal.
Which is incredible,
that is phenomenal.
Which is incredible. And so, Beehive, before y'all start buzzing on my Facebook page, right? Understand, the reason why I said that is because I don't want us to get so locked into the celebrity of an individual, right? It's the impact that the celebrity can be used to have.
I agree.
Which is what Pastor Sutton is talking about.
Absolutely.
You get into the platform and you proceed to pull others up.
Definitely.
And put them in places, you know, that you have opportunity.
I believe this, Malik, that, and this is something I teach at our church, we're all trying to reach a goal, so everybody's reaching up.
Right.
But while you're reaching up, I think you got to reach down at the same time.
You can't
do one without the other.
Mm-hmm.
As you're pulling yourself up to this next phase, you should also be pulling someone else up to another level and give them an experience they never had before. And I think that's what kind of makes the pool bigger to create more opportunities for people who have whatever their goal is, whatever their desires is. I mean, who knows what this photographer was thinking about and looking to become.
Yeah.
And now this opens the door for him to have access to this. And not only that for him, but think about all the other interns and all
go.
The other people that get
go.
Connected to it. That's
I'm
a
I'm
wonderful
the guy who gets
thing.
The break, or the photographer who gets to break open Vogue.
Wow.
Now, what would be equally amazing is if, you know, and I know there's someone slated to do it already, but the hope also, because she selected a 23-year-old photographer.
See that?
Yeah, which is so dope.
See
right?
that?
This guy,
oh,
Tyler,
that's
right?
That's awesome, man.
So,
I'm feeling that.
You know, and what would be great as well is to have the follow-up for another minority to come in who's a woman.
Wow.
Which will be really dope because these magazines tend to depict our women in some unique ways, right? And so having a photographer who gets to shape that, who
that is
a woman, would be really, will be an amazing follow-up.
That is great. I mean, look at this. A woman opened the door.
Yeah.
How about that?
And then pulled the man in, right?
So let's
be honest. We can work together.
Yeah.
We, you know, the genders do not have to fight as we pull each other up. Lance, Google a painting entitled "He Ain't Heavy." All right, so, and I want you guys to go to the Facebook page. Lance will post it. "He Ain't Heavy" is an amazing painting. I'll never forget my father driving me past Lucian Crump. God bless and rest his soul. Lucian Crump Art Gallery here in Philadelphia, and he used to sit right in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
But "He Ain't Heavy" is a very minimalistic painting, and literally what it is a man reaching down to grab another brother.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's the premise of all that we should be in this time, right? And going right back to what you were talking about, get in position to reach down.
Definitely.
As you're reaching up, reach down, right? And so we're excited about Beyonce. Thank you, Beyonce.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's a great thing. Let's go to our another EKG, Brett. I want to skip one and go right to this specific one here. So I'm waiting for my heartbeat. Lance is looking up. We're waiting.
Boom, boom.
There
boom,
we
boom.
Go. Brett just hit us with the production heartbeat. Okay. So, and now this one is really challenging. The reverse Great Migration is reshaping U.S. cities. Now, this is in curb.com. And basically what we're talking about is, you know, in 2005, Alden Laurie remembers his American dream moment. Okay. He and his wife were purchasing a home for $165,000 in 2005, which was a predominantly significant purchase in a predominant black neighborhood in the, Chicago's South Side, where he grew up. Now, where these individuals have set their place in Auburn, Gresham, and some other areas within in the city, specifically the South and the Southwest Side, they're dealing with lower home values.
Mm.
And, mm-hmm. and a thinning population.
Mm-hmm.
So people are recognizing that the value of their property is not climbing the way that I thought it would, even with the rehab and the additions and the deck or whatever you put it on.
Mm-hmm.
And then property taxes are rising, which makes it extremely difficult for me to keep.
To keep, to maintain it. Yeah.
And maintain, right? Now, I told y'all about NACA, so y'all better go to NACA.com and sign up. I'm going to keep hitting you with that, right? Because those are some of the solutions that are out there. But what's happening, Pastor, is many are literally just leaving the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, you know what? It's cheaper for me to go to the suburb.
Yeah.
Okay. And we experience that in the inner city as well. Those who
who are trying to survive, they're going to the lesser impact areas, simply because there seems to be no relief in sight.
Wow.
The challenging part to this, and I want people to understand this, you know, years growing up, we were told, you know, you could go move in Willow Grove, like, cause Willow Grove is like the posh place, yeah, right? Close to to the amazing mall, you know, at the time they had the fountain and the merry-go-round, right?
That's it.
I mean, if you could get to Willow Grove, man, you were doing something. And now they're like, oh yeah, you can go to Willow Grove.
Yeah, anybody can go.
Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Go to Willow Grove, right? we're not coming, but you can go. Right? Mm-hmm. And what also is happening here, And I want people to understand this. When you go and move to Willow Grove or any suburb in your city, you're also moving yourself out of the voting of that particular municipality. Because when you go to the suburb,
it's a totally different mindset.
Yeah, you
totally
got to deal with the county commissioner or whatever your county politics are. But you're literally taking your vote out of the population of the metropolis. What that means, and I'm not attacking anybody's choice of quality of life, but what happens here is, and we could take Philadelphia or Chicago, when you start diluting it with votes that would normally go a particular way for a inner city and have an inner city train of thought around the vote, they normally get filled with individuals who may not carry your interest.
That's very true.
So it's not one to one at that point. They're
being
replaced.
Real kind in how you say it too.
I'm trying.
I love it.
But the fact of the matter is, you know, you're being pushed out.
That's right.
And specifically in areas where we talk about, now let's play chess with this, all right? I don't care how mad you get about the popular vote versus the electoral vote. It's been in play. I don't see it going anywhere. Let's stop that, okay? Mm-hmm. The reality is learn how to play the game.
That's right.
We got to learn how to play the game, right? Gotcha. And so we say, well, this person had more votes than that person. Great. But the electoral college, they count up those numbers and create the presidency.
Right.
In many of these areas where the great migration is occurring are areas and cities that would affect electoral college
votes. How about that? Back in February, I was introduced to a phrase that I had not heard before called the suburbanization of poverty. And the idea was that while they encourage or make it look good for us to go to the suburbs, there are no resources there.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why there's been such a migrate of many of them who were once in the suburbs coming back into the city because it's more convenient and that's where the resources are.
Yeah.
So, you know, most in suburban areas, you know, in the city, we can go to the corner, you can get the bus.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
you're not doing that in the suburbs. Mm-hmm. You can go down to the store, the corner store, if you can't make it to the supermarket. Right. You're not doing that in the suburbs. And I think that is a bit of a challenge that we have to kind of rethink. And what you said as it relates to how that controls the vote, I think is so imperative, because when you're not looking at your personal demographic and mm-hmm. seeing the need that what you do to impact that, you see yourself as a loner.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
you don't see yourself as I'm a part of this change or this is something for all of us. Mm-hmm. Let's tell the truth. Most people are trying to, you know, move on up in a sense. And there's nothing against that. I don't think that you should be limited to that and should, you know, be limited to where you should live. But when you consider what your motive is, back to what we were saying earlier, as it relates to the area where you are, if you're trying to infect that change, you're trying to build that change, then that causes you to make a decision to possibly sacrifice your, you know, what you desired for yourself in the suburbs so you can stay there because you're concerned about this child getting an education. You're concerned about them getting lunch.
Yeah.
You know, you're concerned about, you know, businesses, small businesses being able to maintain in the areas where they are. And I think that is a important thing. But that's something I think you should check out. It's called the suburbanization of poverty.
That is that term just in itself is, that's a whole sermon series, a revival,
man,
Bible study.
It opened me up to a whole nother facet to really see that. So one of the things that the gentleman who was making a presentation, a pastor friend of mine's from D.C., he said that Tony Lee is his name. He said that the idea was move out. If you get out there, you're moving up. But as we started coming out there,
mm-hmm.
now they want to change the medium. And it's almost like we're still letting them set the precedent on what's popular or what's prosperous mm-hmm. or what's the end thing, you know? Yep. And I think that we got to kind of change that model so that we don't repeat the things that we're dealing with right now. Yep. A former pastor at church I was pastoring at is in the, we would call it North Philly.
Yep.
But when regentrification comes in and all that, they start changing the name of the area. And then I noticed slowly but surely how they were placing houses and where they were placing houses that would strip us of mm-hmm. side street parking. And now the church, because most people coming from different areas, mm-hmm. now we're wrestling with people coming, knocking on the church's door saying, excuse me, can you move your car? Yeah. And, you know, things of that nature. Yeah. So I really think that's something that we're going to have to, it's going to continue to open up as it continues to take place. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have some boots on the ground who can be able to still lift up those issues in the community and not let them be steered by outsiders.
Yep.
You know,
absolutely.
I think that's imperative.
And we have this whole concept of that Pavlov, you know, theory, right? Ringing that bell.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And we've been trained to respond to that bell. Hmm. They've hit us with certain things and fed us and I believe programmed us to respond to their bell. And so that bell has gone from, I'm going to ring it in a stationary position and you'll come running every primary and every general election, right? To do what I've trained you to do. But now the bell has become mobile.
Yeah.
Now we'll move it out to the suburb. I'm going to ring it.
Yep.
You're going to follow it out, right?
Very true.
But very rarely are we even getting the substance and the return for the obedience that we've been trained to give.
Wow. I like to even challenge this, Malik. When you go to the suburb,
mm-hmm.
do you understand the municipality there? Do you even know?
Right.
Do you even give that any thought?
Yeah.
And I don't think that in most cases I would probably think that we probably don't.
No. We move into areas that we have no idea.
Yeah.
What's even going on? We just wanted to, you know, hey, I'm out here. I'm out Elkins Park. Come holla at me. Okay, cool. Let me know how that works out.
Oh, man.
Listen. So I think that's really important. And I love the perspective that Pastor Sutton is bringing. Larry McCrae says, my friend and lifelong brother, Overseer Sutton. Dolly Carter checked in and said, Overseer, good afternoon.
How you doing?
She says she is working, though.
She's working. That's my admin in the office. Hey, Miss Dolly.
So
McCrae,
she's
good to see you.
She's watching and working.
Okay, right? Watching and working. You're doing them both. No
there
problem.
You go. Look at God. So let's do this really quickly, guys. I want to make sure we shout this out. You have an event coming up on Saturday because we're talking about the work. We're talking about the motives,
yes.
making sure that we are prepared to do and address some of the things that we can control and some of the things that are just coming, whether we can control it or not.
Yes.
You're on the ground and you have an event coming up. Talk to the listening audience about that event and how we can support it.
Great. This coming Saturday, we'll be at Front and Alani Plaza. It's called our Day of Outreach. And how it was birthed was there was a young lady who was in a local laundromat in mm-hmm. that area. And this is the area we go, the Laundromat Cafe. Shout out to them.
Yep.
That's where we're going to serve at. We decided we were going to go to the laundromat and bless everybody in there that day from the time that we were there on Saturday and make sure that no one had to pay to launder their clothes.
Mm.
And the idea was to just create an opportunity to show them somebody cares about you.
Yeah.
Because I think sometimes that there are certain things that get highly promoted while people who are, they would say the lower people, are not really getting any sense of attention or any love. So we went to the laundromat just to be a blessing. Here's one of the testimonies that came from it.
Hmm.
There's a young lady, she comes and she said she only had $20
mm-hmm.
and she had two children and she didn't know whether she was going to buy food or wash their clothes. So she decided, I'm just going to wash. We got to go wash clothes. What she didn't know is that we were there that day. One of our members helped her out and gave her a card so that she could take care of her laundry for free. Mm-hmm. And then afterwards, another member overheard her giving her testimony and said, come with me directly across the street from the laundromat to ShopRite. They took her to ShopRite and they stocked up her house for the month with food. Here's what happened to her. She got saved. We wound up baptizing her. She's a part of our church now. What would have happened if we weren't there that day?
Mm-hmm.
And so our mode for this coming Saturday is to continue in that same facet. We'll be at the Laundromat Cafe at Front Nolly Plaza, and we'll be ministering to those who are in the laundromat, meeting their needs. But on the outside, we always take care of the kids. I love the children. And so we have free food for the children.
Kingdom Life love the kids.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. So we have free food for them, hot dogs and hot sausages, water, ice, pretzels, just the whole nine, and we're giving it all away. And I just think sometimes people just need to know you're not out here by yourself. Mm-hmm. We care about you. We're going to take it a step further, and we want to be able to see you. So in this 1 year, you had struggled financially, but we want to be able to connect you to something so that the next year you won't have that same struggle. You'll also be able to help somebody else and be a testimony and say, I was there, but I'm not there anymore.
There you go.
And be a blessing. So that's this coming Saturday. We'll be at Front Nolly Plaza, sharing the good news. We add another element this year. We're bringing out a wooden cross, a big wooden cross, and it is going to sit right near the laundromat. And they're going to be going all around telling people to meet me at the cross. And my goal is to get people to write their names on the cross, and we're going to pray for them and believe God that a great change is going to happen. Because I believe if I connect you to the cross, your whole life is going to change.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love that. Meet me at the cross.
Meet us at the cross.
Front and Omni.
Front and Omni. We'll be there this coming Saturday. We'll be there from about 11 to 3.
Beautiful. So, guys, check it out. 11 to 3, Front and Omni in Philadelphia. I promise you. The Ministry of Kingdom Life is something to watch and even greater to participate and be a part of. Front and Omni, if you can, tell everybody to come on out. Let's have a ball.
Yeah, come on.
A healthy, productive good time. And more importantly, let's help some folk.
That's right.
And so, you know, you can be a blessing just by being present, but you can also bring your time, your talent, and your tenth to this mission as well and support. Because all of us together can do wonders, for the community, especially when we're doing it in the right name.
Absolutely.
And with the right purpose.
There you go.
Pastor Sutton, it's always a pleasure to see him in action. It's even better to have him in the studio hanging out with us. His insight on the EKG was phenomenal. Make sure you go check out Kingdom Life, not just this Saturday, but also on Sunday. Del Porter checks in on our live stream and says, meet us at the cross.
That's it.
We will be there front and on the shout out to Lawrence Bowens. Lawrence, I love this brother. Lawrence and I go way back. He literally just tuned into our live stream, but Lawrence is on the road consistently with the Commons and the Erica Badus, the Pharrells of the world, the Ed Sheerans, and this brother's from the church.
Wow.
You know, but he's out there as a road manager, security for Common, and the love that he's able to show to those artists, is not just a Philly perspective of musicianship.
Okay.
But a fellowship.
That's great.
And I really celebrate that brother every time he's in town, man. I love him to death. He
said,
I love you too. Yeah, Lawrence, listen, man, if you're in town, I still have at least like 2 quarters of basketball left in me. So if you want to play, we can do that. I'm going to lace up and let's have a ball. Kingdom Life Ministries, make sure you check them out. Front and Omni in Philadelphia this Saturday, 11 to 3. They're going to make an impact for the kingdom. Meet them at the cross.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so we're going to our Black History Fact and to our Song of the Week. On the other side, just an amazing group of guests. And actually, if Pastor Sutton is sitting in, we'll get his perspective as well. Let's go to our Black History Fact because I want to bring this into perspective. We always talk about hair. We want to do Madam C.J. Walker. We want to talk about George Washington Carver, which is good. We talk about Martin Luther King. That's great. And they have done some amazing things. But there are some people who have done some really great things that we don't pay attention to because it's not necessarily in our wheel well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Matthew Henson is one of those individuals. He is our Black History Fact of the Week. Why do we talk about Black history every week? Because we make Black history every day.
Every day.
You are a part of that. And so African-American explorer Matthew Henson was born in Charles County, Maryland in 1866. In April 6 of 1909, he, Matthew Henson, and Robert Irwin Peary, they made history, becoming the first people, not first African-American, first people to reach the North Pole. The first.
Wow.
Okay. Now, what I love about, you know, certain publications, in one publication, they say they're the first to reach it, period. Mm-hmm. And many of them say the first to reach it. And then there's certain publications that say, at least they claim to. Which, it is what it is. I got it. But Henson was born August 8th. You know, he's a Leo. Shout out to the Leo folk.
There we go.
Left at the age of 11. He left home to find his own way. Worked in a restaurant. Worked his way to Baltimore, Maryland. Became a cabin boy on the ship Katie Hines. The captain, Captain Childs, took Henson under his wing and educated him, which included seamanship. Mm. And so he traveled to Asia, Africa, and Europe as a result. He came back to D.C., became a clerk in a hat shop, and there he met Robert Edwin Peary, then explorer and officer of the U.S. Navy Corps of Civil Engineers. This guy, who was technically inclined, saw Henson's gift and his seafaring credentials and hired him and said, "Nah, we got to do this. Rock with me and come over to Nicaragua." Now, Henson started working, Philly, stand up, in Philadelphia. And he married in Philadelphia.
Wow.
But then decided, you know what? I need the road. And he took off for Greenland. He then embraced local Eskimo culture, learning the language and the natives' Arctic survival skills. Mm. And then they proceeded to go ahead and do the thing.
That's amazing.
And took off from Greenland and ultimately made their way to the North Pole. We're going to make sure that we put this Black History Fact on our Facebook page. Please share much, share often. Give it to our children. We're doing great things, and we have done great things, and we will continue to do great things. And one of the ways to promote that is making sure that our youth know the greatness that lies in their people.
That's right.
And so Black History Fact of the Week goes to the famed African-American explorer Matthew Henson. Lance will make sure that that goes to our Facebook
page. He also went to Harvard.
He went to Harvard. He's got, I mean, 3 minutes isn't going to cut it for what this brother did.
When we
talk about, you know, the Jay-Z's and the Puffies as hustlers and grinders.
Yeah,
no, Matthew Henson
he
put
was
it
definitely
in. That's the original. Hustled. That's the original. So we'll make sure that that goes on the Facebook page. I'm going to go to the song of the week as we close out this first hour. I'm sitting with Pastor Danny Sutton from Kingdom Life Ministries, an amazing EKG, and I mean, your perspective was phenomenal.
Oh, thank you, sir.
And meet them at the cross, front and omni, this Saturday if you're in the Philadelphia area. Now, this song I love because it's really not this artist who's singing it. It's not his song. But the artist he declares is one of his favorite artists to follow, to mimic, and who has been an inspiration to him. That artist who he is so head over heels for is Whitney Houston, our own. The artist is Sam Smith, who does amazing justice to How Will I Know. Check it out.
One dreamer, closing to my eye. Take me to the clouds above. Oh, I lose control. Can't seem to get enough. When I wake from dream, tell me, is it really long? How will I know if you really love me? I say a prayer with every heartbeat. I fall in love whenever we meet. I'm asking you what you know about these things. How will I know if you're thinking of me? I try to fall, but I'm too sad. Kiss me. Falling in love is all bittersweet. This love is strong, but I feel weak.
I absolutely love that rendition. I'm so thankful that I inspired him to do that record. I'm so appreciative. No.
Make sure you go in and download that record. Sam did an amazing job paying homage to Whitney Houston and How Will I Know, and put a really unique spin on it. I mean, he gave it some soul. Brother gave it some soul. I normally don't put opposite of the artist on the show. But he did a really incredible job. But listen, I tell you all the time, we support artistry, and it's not just downloading it on a torrent file. It's actually paying that $1.29, to do it, because, you know, artists need to pay bills too. You know, Pico does not care that you're on the road and everybody loves you. They want to make sure that there's some money in the bank, right? And if not, then you need to talk to, you know, Bernard and Joanna and figure out why you're not getting what you're supposed to get. In the studio, if you're watching the live stream, we're going to stretch it out and go wide so you can see everyone in the studio. So to my immediate right, Joanna Northern, an amazing, amazing individual. I've become a fan following the Instagram feed, right? And so she's traveling throughout our community, doing some amazing work and helping us to bridge the gap as a licensed financial coach. She's also teaching young women how to jump. Yeah, and because she jumped, which, you know, that it's a book, it's a women's initiative. I think, it's probably going to be a movie in a couple of years. Like, she's lining up the empire. But I'm really excited about what she's doing because it's needed. And it's needed from someone who's not 60. And I love our seasoned saints. I'm just saying it's good when someone who's young and can appeal and can have some direct conversation, and provide similar perspective, right? Which is something that Pastor Sutton and I were talking about earlier. It matters. And so we're excited about having you back.
Thank you.
On Heart of the City. My brother Bernard Hamilton is in the building. Now, y'all know Bernard. He comes in and tries to tell y'all to stop spending that tax return money the wrong way. Invest it properly. I mean, he's been breaking this thing down for you on a monthly basis. And we're excited about what he does in the community. The fact that you've shared your time and talent with us as well. And that you're back to tag team on, this great show, and this great topic, because the future, we gotta fund it, right? It's great to have those ideas and have the notepad full of, you know, concepts. But in order to do some of that, we have to change lifestyle. We have to change our saving habits and things of that nature so that we can invest in our stuff. Now, Dr. Ayanna Howard is calling in shortly, and I'm going to make sure that you guys talk to her. An amazing, amazing member of our community. She is the Mark C. Smith Professor and Chair at the School of Interactive Computing in the College of Computing at Georgia Institute of Technology. Her business card is long. That chair thing is just long. And her impact is even longer in the community. This is someone who's chair of the robotics PhD program, associate chair for faculty development at Georgia Tech. She was a senior robotics researcher at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory. I'm like... That's grown woman business right there. I mean, and so when we talk about hidden figures and all that kind of stuff, like we have one who I believe, you know, fits right along in that line. Somebody who's breaking ground and also doing it with excellence, but then also reaching back in a position to be able to teach others and young people how to move. Now, next to Bernard, I love this young fire starter. I know she's going to laugh when I say that, but I love her energy. I had the opportunity to sit and talk with her about some of the dreams that she has for one of the communities in Philadelphia. So we talked about the organization. Tiara has talked about food deserts, food securities. And we remember this. Dream, invent, think. And organize. Did I get it right?
Yes, you got it.
Okay, all right, cool. All right, got it right. So, weekly grocery giveaways, community planning around sustainable gardens, conversations around agriculture in inner city, right? So, I mean, places that typically we're not going to think about in the 50-19150 zip code, you know, and Tara's like, no, we need a garden and we need, you know, pipeline for distribution. And it's like, wow. So we don't just have to rely on Pathmark. We really could do it ourselves. That's something that you're focused on and changing all of our mindset around the value of a healthy and sustainable community. I'm really excited about what you're doing, and it's an absolute pleasure to have you back on Heart of the City. So Brett, let's turn these mics up. I want to get everybody engaged really fast. And so, okay, so Tiara and Joanna, we talked about how we create programs and how we were going to do some kind of like takeaway and come back every month. And the reason why I wanted to do that was because, it's needed. One. Two, it's time to start also adding folk. And I want people to see in real time from a broadcast perspective how we bring solutions to the table and touch all walks of life through various scenarios. So let's touch the money side. There, on the EKG, right, and you guys will appreciate this. I'm talking to Bernard and Joanna. We talked about the fact that many of us are relying on superstars to save us. The athletes of the world. All right. So we celebrated LeBron. LeBron just broke he broke ground on an amazing school. So, mm-hmm. I mean, absolutely phenomenal. But as a community, we're quick to sit in the barbershop, and I use the barbershop all the time. I'm sorry, guys. It's what we do, but we're in the barbershop and we're chopping up folk who don't give, who don't, you know, invest themselves. And I also talked to Pastor Sutton because we just had this conversation around folk not giving politically and the cost of not giving politically. And then Pastor Sutton was like, yeah, that's good, Malik, but you're in the 30,000 foot level. Cats got to have $5 disposable to be able to give to politics and ensure that an agenda goes forward. You guys do this on a daily basis, Bernard and Joanna. So is politics and political giving a part of the conversation when we talk about financial literacy and wealth building? Does it need to be?
You could start.
I'll address that first. So it can be, depending on a person's situation.
Okay.
What I first talk to some of my prospects and clients about is it starts with investing in yourself first. You can't you can't look to help someone else or help the community or reach out until you invest in yourself. And it's a number of different ways a person can do that. You mentioned LeBron. While that's a great thing, that doesn't really do anything for individuals here in Philadelphia or around the world. It's just something that he wanted to do based on where he came from. So that was something that was important to him. So for each and every one of us, it's important to kind of take steps to do what we need to do personally first to invest in ourselves and kind of take one step and put it in front of the other and make positive steps forward. So it may be for some clients and prospects and people in general, and then for others, they're more focused on, you know, their own world, and and that's okay. That's okay.
Like for excuse me, the majority of the people that I sit down with, they're looking at the day to day because I'm sitting down with you, and I can clearly see from doing a budget analysis, we're doing a financial needs analysis, and we're living paycheck to paycheck.
Wow.
We don't have even $500 in the bank for emergencies, but you want me to give $3,000 to political movement, and then sometimes I still don't see anything happen in my community.
Right.
So that's a hard conversation to then make a priority when I'm trying to figure out how can I start saving more towards my retirement.
And how does that fit? That political donation, does that fit
absolutely.
In the grand scheme of things?
And it's a great thing once you start to get into the habit and you see your funds grow.
But
we have to start somewhere first. You know, we hear the saying, you know, my cup filleth over, right? And my dad's listening, so he can appreciate this. My father, when he would pour his tea every morning, he still does it to this day.
Okay.
He purposely puts a saucer under the cup, and he will make sure that the cup overspills, right? And I remember as a child, I would ask him, Daddy, why do you do that? He said, because you have to do it in the real life as well. You have to take care of your cup first before you can then give to others. And I've seen him do that throughout the course of his life. And even when I sit down with potential clients or current clients, you know, make sure that we take care of home for, let's get this part together here. And then we can start doing more within within our churches, within our communities. I definitely think it should be a part of the conversation, but I'm telling you, when you're sitting down with someone that they're barely making it and or they see that their behavior, because that's what it really comes down to, your financial behaviors, we're trying to sharpen those. How can I say that I'm going to start giving $50 in tithes every week? We need to make it a part of the conversation, and we have those conversations at times, but the very first thing is addressing those immediate behaviors that's making it difficult just to be able to save on a consistent basis.
So let's talk about that. So Tierra, food, the food conversation, specifically land that needs to be designated, right, for gardens and things of that nature, can often be political in how it's done, how it's given, how it's allocated in a community that may be underserved. And so then there's that delicate balance, right? So you have something that can help reduce the cost of the day-to-day need, but it also has a need for political support. Or some level of advocacy, let's put it that way, right? Which requires dollars and cents. How do we navigate that space as we're developing some of these mixed use opportunities?
Well, I have, I guess, multiple responses to that.
Okay.
First, I think there is an issue with we only see the need for money, but where is the need for social capital? Like, in my mind, the type of world that I would love to have is, instead of, Joanna, if you needed help with something, instead of me just saying, I'm going to give you my last 20, what personal investment can I provide to you? What services, what purpose do I have that can catapult your purpose and your services so that we can both keep our money in our pockets, but build on our social capital? So I feel as though we as a community lack in social capital because we don't see the importance of having people as a tool. So if I had all my friends, just 10 friends together, right?
Right.
And we all said, okay, well, what's your dream? What's your dream? What's your dream? And then we all strategize how we can help each other's mission. Mm-hmm. We would, one, have more money in our pockets as collateral to buy the land that we needed. And two, we would have a group of people that can come to our political figures and say, hey, you are not servicing my community the way I feel you should be, appropriately. So not only did I just save my money and use it to go further in life as a group, but now we have a group or a unit backing each other with several issues. So I think, you know, the services that you guys provide financially are very, very much important, but we also have to come together as a community. We can't just put all our focus on dollars and cents. We need to put our focus also in political, building a political unit, and that unit is community.
It's,
you know,
it's interesting that you said that because, you know, growing up, you know, communities, you shared, right? So spaghetti was great, not because you had all the ingredients, but because somebody had a pepper, somebody had some onions, somebody had some extra meat for meatballs, whatever it may have been. And everybody kind of came together to make sure everyone ate. Pastor Sutton, I'm going to ask you to jump into this too, because much of this is something that you and I talked about was a premise of the church. The church was a resource that you could come and get all of this stuff. And so we're now at a point where our churches are in a position to resurge. And come and become those resource hubs where Joanna could sit and Tiara could have the garden behind it, you know, and Bernard's going through and talking about how we balance and invest what's coming in the door. Where are we from a church perspective? Is that part of our priority? Is that something that's happening right now?
It should be.
Okay.
It I want to say it should be. I dare not try to use a broad brush and say everyone's doing that. But it should definitely be a priority. I thought, and I wrote it down when she said it, being conscious of social capital. I think that is extremely important because it puts the conversation back on people. And us kind of mobilizing ourselves to support one another outside of what we are both struggling trying to get and keep, which is the dollar. And I think that's important and imperative. While I need to learn how to hold on to or make more of what I have, at the same time, I need to invest not just money, I need to invest myself into a certain cause and into a certain endeavor. And I think the church now, that's the mode at this point. It's kind of creating another culture, so to speak, a label community. And most of our culture, if we think about it, it really doesn't promote that. Most of our culture promotes an individuality. It's me, myself, and I. You know, how can I get ahead? How can I and do whatever necessary to get ahead? You know, so to have that as a mission or connected to the church, I think that is very much needed.
So social capital, folk are coming around, right? So Bernard, you know, Kingdom Life comes together. They've got tons of social capital, and they come to you and say, "We're ready to begin to invest." And many churches or churches are like Pastor Sutton are beginning to think about how in a corporate space, a collective space, they invest. Right. And some will look at the CDC as an approach, and there are other vehicles. But talk about how groups of people that have come together and recognize the power in their social capital and collectiveness can begin to invest collectively into projects and products such as, you know, the ones that you present to the community.
Yeah, sure. So, it's a number of different ways that, people can join together to begin to invest. I have some clients who are part of, investment clubs. And what they are a collection of people from different backgrounds who just decided they wanted to pool their resources together. And they had a common goal of investing their money in order to get it to grow. And they may have different purposes for that money, whether it's long-term retirement money, whether it's something that they want to do to just learn about investing.
Mm-hmm.
I heard a commercial over the last week that said that a lot of people don't invest because they're scared of it. It's kind of fear of the unknown.
Yeah.
You hear a lot of different, I forget what company it was for, but you hear a lot of different jargon, a lot of different things are kind of thrown at you, and you just essentially kind of throw your hands up and just say, well, it's not for me.
Mm-hmm.
So what I start with is just helping folks to figure out, well, what's the purpose and what are you looking to accomplish? And then revolve the products and services and all that stuff around what your goal is.
Around the purpose.
Right, around the purpose. It's all about whatever your purpose is, whether it's something that's short-term or something that's just educational. Just something that's educational. I mean, financial literacy in general is something that's so important and lacking in the community.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of learning about the basics of, you know, we can take it past, you know, bank accounts and begin to talk about investment accounts, talk about IRAs, a number of different things, whether you want to kind of pool money together and go the investment club route or whether you want to do it through LLC mm-hmm. or those types of organizations.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have a conversation about, okay, what's the purpose? And now we can kind of figure out what's the best way to accomplish that purpose.
So I think that's important, understanding the purpose. And guys, I want you to understand those who are listening. Let me do this legal ID really quickly. You're listening to The Heart of the City, the show topic, you know, preparing for the future. This is really important. Okay, so Joanna, Bernard brought up the fact that there are many opportunities for you to collectively get involved, right? And so I always like to think out the box, mm-hmm. right? So in my opinion, there are opportunities for, and I grew up in a church that was focused on giving through and raising funds to keep and maintain the church through an offering pan, mm. right? And sometimes there were dinners sold, right? And that's right. typically the crux of many churches or some churches that have some legs and have been in some of what I call the seasoned moments of life, right? But that can be taxing, especially in this economy, right? Because these aren't the Clinton years where you could walk outside and
you just
fell into a job, fell into money. This ain't that. Mm-hmm. And so, and it hasn't been that for some time, right? And so, Bernard, what you talked about the collective investment, I think that that's something that should happen even, like churches should have investment clubs, right? Mm-hmm. Like churches should, that would be the dope thing to me. Like instead of raising money for the scholarship fund, we have one of the properties given to the child as an asset.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like I see other cultures do that kind of stuff. Like they'll go and grab property or pull some money and invest it properly when that child hits a particular age or whatever. They give it to that child and whether you have a custodian there to help them along the way, because you're not going to be 18 and be a financial genius. So it's not going to happen. But there are assets that are given mm-hmm. that help that individual on the way. That collective mindset. Is it necessary for us right now in this time frame? Because so many are without the individual ability to move. Are you guys like, so Joanna, are you seeing a trend towards, you know, the club groups, or should we begin that trend?
Yes, I am seeing that. I mean, we just saw the Tulsa Fund with Jay
yes,
Morrison.
Yes. So how's that going? So
I personally don't
okay,
know.
Okay.
During that time, I was just getting my head above water with my books. Mm-hmm. I was not able to invest in the project, but I was just talking to a colleague.
Time out. I want you to understand. She just said I was taking care of home first. she went right back to what she started off with.
Right.
If you can't do it,
right.
And Bernard said the same thing. If you can't take care of home, and so
right.
you were taking care of your book.
I was taking
Understood.
Care. Right, absolutely. So, but I was saying to a colleague of mine that even if, which I don't believe that this is going to happen, that's my precursor, just in case Jay's listening.
Okay.
Even if it quote unquote didn't work out,
mm-hmm.
just that movement. And seeing like minds come together
yeah.
to restart
yeah.
something that really you know, who knows what our country would look like right now if that yeah. event did not happen. It's beautiful. So he's just one example. I'll use myself as well. Since the last time I was here, LPI, which is my financial literacy program, we now have a 10-month contract. Where we're now going to be in a school, which I would have loved for it to be here in Philly, but it's not going to be here in Philly. It's going to be in Trenton.
And Philly, what the problem is?
Hey, you
really?
Know, yeah, absolutely. So now we're going to be in a school where for 10 months, we will educate students all year round. But it's not just the students. It's a holistic approach. The parents are involved. They have to attend workshops.
Okay.
The school is totally backing it. We're going to be able to provide, you know, parents and their children the services and products that they need. So now as they're transitioning into the, you know, the adulting, right? You see these memes like, oh, my God, I hate adulting. But now as the students transition into the real world, these things are not they're not all new to them. They're not they're not scared of filling out tax forms because they're aware of what a W-4 is. And they understand the difference between their dependents and withholdings. You know, even the summer program, BSJ, Financially Fit, the girls are learning information like they're like sponges.
Wow.
And they went home and they started talking to their parents and asking them, Mom, Dad, are you invested in your retirement?
Wow.
What kind do you have? And
so they'll
come back
So the
share.
Children are beginning the
yes,
conversation.
Yes, absolutely.
That's big.
But none of what I'm doing, I didn't just do this on my own. This is talking to people and meeting others with like minds and said, hey, we don't have a lot of dollars, but you know what? I have the space.
Mm-hmm.
You have the value.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a small grant. And how can we then come together and make this work? So that's how BSJ Financially Fit Girls actually came together. Someone had the space.
Wow.
I had the value. We had a small grant.
Yeah.
And some parents were able to pay. But that's how we were able to do this. The same thing with the school. They had the school. I'm providing the value.
Right.
They have the and schools have funds. It's there. They do need to use it
for certain
curriculums. So when they tell you that they don't have the funds, you're probably just not speaking to the decision maker, you know, in that way. So yes, absolutely. We definitely need to collaborate. I do think that it is happening. I think that we need to believe more that it can happen and open up our mouths and talk to each other and see what do we have. You know, going on, as Tier was speaking, I'm working on a community development project, and I automatically thought about when we do sit down and meet, I need to be bringing you into that. I need to have your name
there
on the contract and say, this is how we're going to make sure that we have healthy gardens in this community development project as well.
Yep.
But if we're not meeting and talking and expressing and not being afraid, oh, my goodness, you're going to steal my client. We can't go into it like that. Then our communities will stay the same.
Yeah, our communities will stay the same. So a couple of things. Tiara, food has been a major complaint of our community. The access to healthy food has been what I would call, well, I guess I could still call it a complaint.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't been an action item, though. How do we get people to understand the importance of healthy food in our communities? I mean, because we talk about it normally, we do it around school lunch.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
we want to make sure that, that kids have a breakfast and have a school lunch, right? But it goes so much further than that, right? Mm-hmm. Because when that child gets out of school, it's what they're going to have for dinner. It's what's fueling them through snack time. Sometimes homework is impossible to get through because my stomach becomes the focus of that study time.
Right.
How do we begin to change our mindset? What's happening? I know you're on the ground and you're leading this effort along with others. How do we change the education or the thought process around food?
It's funny, I was just having a small conversation with Joanna before we even came in, and I think that people forget that food, you don't just eat to enjoy. You are primarily eating for nourishment. And if you look at food like it's a drug, because it is, anything that you take into your body changes, and it changes the chemical or the molecular structure of your body, that's a drug. So that those mashed potatoes, those bags of chips, that sugary substance is turning into glucose. We are all compounds. We are all made of of elements, okay? So the first step is, one, letting someone see that their body is not like just a body. It's a machine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's crazy how we are so, we won't put sugar in our car tanks.
Right.
We won't put oil in our car tanks.
Right.
But we will put poisonous alcohol in our bodies. We will put sugary drinks in our bodies and think it's okay because we don't see the immediate results. But our bodies are reacting to that. Okay. Mm. You look around on the streets and you see people are tired. People are stressed out. People look undernourished.
Right.
And that's because they care more about their cars than they do their bodies. And it's so funny. I was in the garden.
Stop. Repeat that line right there. People care more about
their cars than their bodies.
Wow.
And I was in the garden, right? And we do everything organic, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about it and I said, wow, how smart are the bugs? They're more smarter than we are and we think we're getting over on them because they know not to eat something that has poison on it. Pesticides.
Mm-hmm.
The minute you spray a pesticide on a plant, the bug says, oh, I'm not touching that.
Mm-hmm.
But we think we're doing over or we're smarter than them
that
because we figured out how to get them away.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
They're smarter than us because
yeah.
they know the minute you spray that pesticide on, it's not good food.
Yeah, I'm off that.
It's poison.
I'm not touching it.
But we do, and we think, so the more, the wiser we become, the mm-hmm. foolish we become.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first component is letting people see that, one, it's necessary.
Mm-hmm.
It's necessary. It's not optional. Can I just share something personal with you guys?
Yeah.
Because I really want my women to know this.
Okay.
I was just diagnosed with endometriosis, right?
Yeah.
And they say 1 out of 10 women have endometriosis. And most women think, oh, I'm fine if I have, you know,
mm-hmm.
bad cramping or whatever.
Right.
During that time of the month.
Right.
Well, you know what? The more I started to research, I started to see, you know what? This is a hormonal thing.
Wow.
You know, endometriosis mm-hmm. is really triggered by estrogen.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing I had to realize, I'm cutting all dairy out. Because dairy comes from what? A cow.
Mm.
And a cow is what? A living being that has what? Hormones.
Mm-hmm.
So when people say, you know, why are the children, you know, developing faster than ever
mm-hmm.
before? Or why do women wow. have more cysts, more fibroids,
right,
more all
right,
of that?
Right,
that's
right,
because
right.
they're ingesting hormones in
wow.
our bodies. And so any living substance
mm-hmm.
has, you know, feelings just like we do. And I know we kind of detach them from animals,
right.
but animals go through stress.
Right.
Just like we go through stress.
And it shows up in their meat.
Yes.
Yeah,
you are
fibers,
what
yeah.
you eat. So if you're already stressed out, high overload of cortisol,
mm-hmm.
and you then ingest more cortisol, what are you doing? You are stressing yourself out even more. And
wow.
that your body is, the hormones have to come out somewhere.
Wow.
And it's going to reproduce. So when people say, I'm trying to tell people that it's not optional anymore what you eat.
Wow.
It's just not. So the first step is to know that food
mm-hmm.
is a chemical substance. Okay. And people look at, you know, heroin or
mm-hmm.
crack like that's bad. You need to start looking at your milk.
Whoa.
Your meat.
Yeah.
As bad.
Yeah.
Because those are hormones. It's compounds.
Wow.
The second thing is politically. You know, of course, we had green space written into our contracts, you
mm-hmm.
know, as a city. But there really is no backing. There's no pressure from, you know, the community to enforce what they set out to write out, you know,
mm-hmm.
for green space. Mm-hmm. And just think. People say, oh, well, I don't have the money to go to these places to get food. One, I provide Trader Joe's
mm-hmm.
and Fresh Market food for free weekly on Saturday morning. So that
wow.
excuse is out the window. Secondly, Ditto also has a community garden, which I'm trying to sell everybody. If you have only $20, right?
Mm-hmm.
$20, you can go buy yourself seed.
Yeah.
You don't need to have, you know, pressure treated wood and
yeah,
have
yeah,
it pretty.
Yeah.
You can use cinder blocks and start and get at least a pound of soil from Home Depot, organic soil,
right.
and then you can grow yourself. So those $20 can turn into a whole meal. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Wow.
So there's really no excuse. There really is no excuse.
So it's deep. And I want you guys to understand a lot of times this green space gets, conveniently packaged in a development deal. Because the developer has, and I can say this, my guests can't, but I can. I'm gonna take the hit for y'all. I got you. So if you look at the finance reports of certain elected officials, you'll see what their interests are and why they are making decisions that sometime are not in our best benefit. Because if you're a heavy developer person, you're less likely to give that land to green space. Because it doesn't serve a purpose, especially if you could, you know, have somebody develop something that's $500,000 on that land, right? So I want you guys to pay attention to some of that stuff, because, you know, again, going back to the points that, Pastor Sutton and I were talking about earlier, you have to ensure that you understand, how and who is funding the folk that represent you. Because that goes a long way to what goes into your community, because they become the gatekeeper for all of this stuff. And so, Bernard, that, you know, taking care of cars better than our bodies. And she got me, because you and I both, we enjoy cars, right? And so I'm sitting here like, oh, that was a kidney shot. I didn't need that. I got to go hit Planet Fitness when I leave the studio. You know, that conversation is, And Tierra brought it from a global perspective, and then touched on some things for women. For men, how do we begin to start to have those conversations? Because we're too cool to talk about our deficits amongst each other. You know, it's like, yeah, I want to go talk to Bernard, but I don't want to tell him everything because I don't want him to recognize I'm broke. You know, and then we miss the blessing, right? Because you have some gifts that could actually get them over the hump. How do we do that, man?
Yeah, going back to the car thing, when she said that, I was like, oh man, is she talking to me?
She got me, right?
Cause you know personally how much I'm in the cars.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's important for all of us, and not just, you know, men, but all of us to realize that regardless of what background you come from, regardless of what you do for a living, that each and every one of us is responsible for our own personal financial world and our own personal financial house. And you're right. A lot of times I will hear, certain people that will say, well, I don't want to give up, you know, all the tape, so to speak,
yep.
Because they don't want to kind of reveal themselves. But as you spoke to earlier, it's really about managing people's behavior towards money and how they view money. Mm. I've read something before that said people spend more time each year planning their vacation for the year than they do planning their retirement or planning for saving. They spend more time each year.
Yeah.
Planning for vacation for the year than they do planning for retirement or planning their finances. So, I had a couple statistics. I can't remember them all, but it says that 45% of America has nothing saved for retirement. Half of the people out there have absolutely nothing saved for retirement. That's a scary, scary thought. And when you kind of break it down into different age groups, 80% of America, that's essentially almost everyone out there, between 30 and 55 believe that they just won't have enough for retirement.
Yeah, yeah. Especially when you hit, you know, my age, like the age of, you know, we have that fear. Like, you know what? So if I don't have enough, let me just ball out.
Exactly. I'm just gonna have, and I was going to say, what that fear causes people to do is just to completely disregard it and be irresponsible and kind of live for today.
Yeah.
Not realizing that at some point in life, either your job or your health is going to cause you to stop working.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of who you are, at some point, your job or your health is going to cause you to stop working.
Right.
And what are you going to do at that point? So if you haven't planned appropriately over time, you're going to be in a bad situation. But it doesn't take a lot. It doesn't take a lot. It really just takes consistency, and the earlier, the better.
So we're talking about the future. This is so important because, you know, you compare – prepare for the future by way of industry. You could prepare for it by the way of community involvement and engagement, by which, you know, you can do through religious institutions and organizations. You can prepare for it through agriculture, providing, manufacturing, distribution inside of your community and controlling those things. And then you can, of course, do it through behavioral changes, right? The other part to that is education and being in position to gain access to education, that's going to prepare you for not the future of your city and the future of your community, but where the world is going, Right? Because there's a whole agenda that the world has as it relates to the global economy, and what I call the technical economy. And so, you know, IT plays a role in that. Technology plays a major role in that. Robotics. You know, we're quick to give our kids a basketball from Models and not necessarily take them to a robotics camp, which is crazy, right? And that may or may not be their interest, but giving them an opportunity to even see it and be exposed to it is so important. And so I'm excited because on the line we have with us Dr. Ayanna Howard. Again, I told you guys, she's the Linda J. and Mark C. Smith Professor and Chair of the School of Interactive Computing in the College of Computing at Georgia Institute of Technology. I'm really excited to have her on Heart of the City for all that she's doing. 200 peer-reviewed publications she's been a part of. Her bachelor's in science, engineering from Brown, MS and PhD in electrical engineering from the University of Southern California. In 2013, she founded Zyrobotics, and she's licensing technology from her research. So she's about her business. About her business. And so I want to talk about that and the fact that she was a robotics researcher at NASA, which is major in its own right. And so without further ado, I want to bring in Dr. Ayanna Howard. It's an absolute pleasure having you on Heart of the City.
Thank you. Thank you for the invite.
No, we're excited because one, we have someone who looks like us in such an amazing and important space. And when we talk about technology and robotics, it's something that we don't necessarily talk about inside of our communities. And so talk to us about where you are as the chair of the School of Interactive Computing. How has it been attracting black and brown talent into the technological space, and what are some of the things that we need to do inside of our communities to prepare our youth for a future in technology?
Yeah, so I think one of the things in computing, robotics, and artificial intelligence in general, it's already attracting individuals that what we call underrepresented in STEM.
Okay.
Because you can see it every day. Now, I'm not saying that the numbers are, you know, representative of, you know, U.S. demographics, but mm-hmm. you are starting to see an increase. And I think it's because even though you might not necessarily know what a computer scientist does or an engineer does,
right,
I think that the messaging is starting to come clear that, you know, you can make a living and quite a good living at, you know, doing things that you enjoy, which is, you know, if you enjoy playing video games, for example, well, you can code up those video games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're interested in kind of, you know, the computers or the internet, you know, you can be a person that designs the web for that and designs the infrastructure. So the messaging is a little easier. So we're starting to see interest level. Now, the problem is that a lot of times, by the time the kids get interested,
right,
you know, late high school,
right,
it's like, oh man, you know, you really should have started in like middle school.
Right.
So, you know, that's a little bit of a negative in terms of the competition.
So for us, it's important, specifically in inner city communities, for us to ensure that the middle school children have a wide platform of resources to prepare them.
They do, because
okay.
that's where it starts, right?
Hmm.
Because, so think about it, you could think about it as math, right? So
okay.
as you know, if you don't take, you know, a certain type of math, you're not going to be ready for college, right?
Sure.
And so you know that, which starts in middle school. You have to be prepared coming into ninth grade so you take the appropriate math. So coding is the same thing. You can't just start as a freshman and be like, oh, I don't know what I want to do. And then sophomore year, I still don't know what I do. And then junior, like, oh my gosh, I want to go work for Google. Right?
Right. No, you're right. Now, it's a hard truth, but you're absolutely right on that. So our children, what are we missing in our communities? What are some of the things that parents who are listening right now, they have a child that they know has some significant promise and could make an impact in such a field. What are the things that we need to have around them, whether it be in the home or in the community?
Yeah, so for and I'm going to use coding because it's the easiest thing. Mm-hmm. So one of the things about coding is that it's one of the resources that's free everywhere. Because wow. there aren't, if you look at the stats in terms of jobs, like you'll see how many unfilled jobs in the U.S. are open in, you know, computer related fields. Because we don't really have enough individuals mm-hmm. to fill the jobs. Because, you know, there are jobs in, like, Atlanta and in Minnesota and in Delaware, right? They're not all in Silicon Valley.
Right.
And so a lot of the places in our own community can't fill the jobs because there aren't individuals that are there in order to, you know, basically work in that area in those jobs. And so as a parent, what we need to do is we need to start putting this stuff in front of the kids, downloading yeah. the apps that teach coding. Go to, you know, code.org and play with things like Tommy the Turtle Learn to Code so that they are exposed to this because it's literally all free. That's the thing. It's all free.
Mm. So, all right. Because that's hitting me in a couple different spaces. First of all, you start thinking about kids and the fact that they know how to work a smartphone mm-hmm. like experts, but don't know the intricacies of what's behind the screen. Dr. Howard, can you talk about what engineering looks like in the many facets in which it's applied? And I know they're endless, but just to help people understand how impactful engineering is and where it can be applied.
Yeah, so I like to talk about engineering and computer science throughout the day, right? So mm-hmm. you wake up in the morning, right? Typically, there's an alarm clock. Well, what do you think the alarm clock is? So that's a combination of someone who does plastic. So that's chemical engineering. That's someone who does electronics. That's electrical engineering. That's someone who has to code it up so that it gets right in terms of the time and buzzing correctly. You know, that's a computer scientist. So right there, you wake up in the morning, engineering is all around you. You go to in terms of the kitchen and you want to make some breakfast, right? And you open up the fridge. It's like, okay, what do I want? Okay, let me think. Do I want milk or do I want orange juice? Well, there's a whole science in terms of how is it that the milk doesn't curdle while it's in the refrigerator?
Right.
How is it that the orange juice is nice and cool, great temperature? You know, the stove cuts on. It doesn't burn your house down every time, right? There was engineering behind that.
Yeah.
So you go to the bus. Maybe you walk to the bus. Maybe you're old enough to drive a car. Doesn't really matter. That's all mechanical, even some aerospace aspects in terms of how is it that the engine runs and uses gas to convert it to energy? And so it's like, it's one of the things is like everything around us, the reason why we even have a society is because of this engineering and computer science that allows us to do what we want to do and have to do.
It's amazing because you bring me back to, I was having a political conversation with a union that focused on building bridges. They were part of the infrastructure conversation of our country. And one guy put it in perspective to me. He said, you know, we take life for granted, but we literally place our lives in about 80 people's hands in the course of a day in yeah. terms of their skill set, their ability to make sure that the elevator is balanced correctly and the counterweights work and all of the, and I never think about it. You know, I get on the elevator. In fact, I'm mad that the elevator's going so slow. I'm late for the meeting. Hurry up, you know. But we never stop to think about all of those aspects that are literally someone else's expertise and skill set. And we rely on right. them without even thinking. And this is basically what you're chairing, the group of individuals whose lives are responsible for the safety of our own lives every day. And so what does the job outlook look like for those who have a child and they're having this conversation right now? They're listening. Somebody called, you know, Uncle Ray Ray and told the cousins to listen. What does the job outlook look like specifically for minorities moving into this space over the next, 10 to 15 years?
Well, so all of the jobs, and this is a lot of people are saying this, all of the jobs in the next, I would say, 20 years plus, which is basically kids now after they say go to school or trade school even, they will all have a techie focus. Wow. Everything from, think about it. I'm a mechanic now. Mm-hmm. 20 years from now, what am I? I'm going to be a mechanic of self-driving cars. All right?
Yeah.
It's a different type of skill set. I'm going to have to figure out, okay, why is this self-driving car not, like, doing what it's supposed to be doing? Customer comes in. I'm going to have to be techie. It's not just, it's not going to be as simple as, you know, open up the hood. It's going to be much more complex than that.
Wow.
If I'm a cook, right? I'm a cook. Like, I'm a chef. I do design all these things. It's not going to be just, you know, grab the egg. It's going to be like, okay, I'm going to have to work with my robot assistant here in terms of doing some things. And I'm the expert, so I know which ingredients to choose.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to be the one that's flipping and actually turning and stirring. It's going to be a robot assistant. And so it's just like if you think your cook does something wrong, you tell them. Well, you can't just tell. You're going to have to figure out, okay, how do I actually program this up because it just screwed up my eggs?
Yeah.
So every single job is going to require some aspects of being technical. Even the things you think of as, well, no, that's a labor job. No, it's going to be labor, but with technology.
Labor with technology. And so, and you're speaking to me in so many ways, because even when we talk about bus drivers and tractor trailer drivers, you know, Mercedes-Benz and Chrysler have even created self-driving tractor trailers that they are testing right now. That are going to be able to go cross country without a driver. And so what happens to those mechanics and those drivers is going to be really, important. And it's good to know that there is someone who's educated and who cares about our community in position, to help prepare us. And so we're excited about everything that you're doing at Georgia IT. What's your legacy? As we close this interview out, what's your legacy? I mean, you've done some already. You've done amazing work. But what is it that you want us to remember about your gift?
So what I would like everyone to remember is that we are setting the stage for the future, like for the future generations and our future world. And it's our responsibility to make sure that the technologists that build and design that future world, that it represents what the world looks like. And not just U.S., I'm very U.S.-centric, but, you know, the entire world is diverse, right? Yeah. It's diverse in terms of culture and in terms of mindset and all these aspects. And our technologists have to represent that.
Wow. Keeping your eyes on the big picture. That in itself, you have the pastor shaking his head. And so one of the things that we're going to make sure that we do, and we would love to have you back on, just to continue to talk to us, as, you know, this year goes on, but we want to make sure that we get coding classes along with the financial literacy classes in, a significant number of our churches and our community centers, so that we can prepare our kids to show up at Georgia IT ready to rock and roll.
Right.
Under the leadership of Dr. Ayanna Howard. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on today. We're excited about you and excited about the work that you're doing. And thank you for helping to prepare us as a community and as a culture for the future.
Thank you. Thank you for the invite.
So, guys, you heard from Dr. Howard. I mean, some of that was just straight mind blowing.
Yes.
You know. I mean, really.
Haley and I have to have a talk when I get
home. I'm like, come on now.
Yeah.
Come on, get you this coding now.
That's right.
And so it's not just, and yes, you want your child to explore their talents, right? And to explore the gift, right? That very thing that God has purposed them to do. But we have to make sure that we expose them to all of the things that will bring out all of the opportunities,
right?
And making sure that the conversation, and now I'm thinking about basketball. I'm like, okay, so the basketball, somebody had to glue that thing. Somebody had to have the machine that cut it right. The hardwood floors, the basket, the,
how do we make sure
the clocks,
the glass doesn't break?
Yeah. I mean, all of that, right? And so, yes, the basketball player makes some money, but who's the one that licensed the technology that cover, you know, so NBA, the championship, game where they would stop the play and then rotate the whole thing all the way around, right? Somebody did that, right? And so Dr. Ayana charged us to be mindful of that. Audrey Dinkins on our Facebook stream said, look, college tour to Dr. Howard's school. I'm all for it. We're sending out an email. Lance is nodding his head. In the studio here, we still have Joanna Northern and Pastor Danny Sutton from Kingdom Life. As we close up the show, let's talk about what's ahead. What's next? What do you have coming up that people need to know and need to be in a presence and in attendance and support of?
So what I have coming up, I'm really excited about our first 10-month contract at this school.
Beautiful.
It's just amazing.
Thank
you very, very much. I'm definitely looking to bring in specialists into our program that can speak with the students about different areas. Like today, my young ladies, they met with Almitra. I cannot pronounce her last name, but she is well known in the community for business credit, and they had a credit 101 class.
Wow.
So I'll definitely be looking out, looking to specialists in different areas to come in and make the program very purposeful. Next year, I'm already planning for our college now. Conference. Well, now we will have students with their parents as they transition into the college world to have support, having those real conversations.
Mm-hmm.
What does it really mean when you apply for financial aid?
Mm-hmm.
As well, we will support those that are transitioning out of college. And plus the ones that may have just graduated and they're still trying to figure that out.
Right.
So college, comma, now what?
Wow.
2019.
And it's on. Make sure that you go and support these initiatives. Go to the website. Tell them the website.
www.thecfcoach.com.
Make sure you sign up for those financial literacy programs or bring Joanna out.
Absolutely.
To your community.
You can email me directly at info.thecfcoach.com. At thecfcoach.com.
Pastor Sutton.
Yes, sir.
All right, so I don't have a the crowd clap button. So Brett, we did. All right, to the crowd. That's for Joanna. All right, and Pastor, we have Saturday.
Yes.
Right, 11 to 3.
11 to 3 will be at Front Nolly Plaza, serving the Laundromat Cafe as well as everyone else in the plaza. Up ahead, I'm going to make connections with Joanne and Tierra and Bernard.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Find out about these coding classes.
Look, that's what it's about. We get the information and apply.
I think that's just remarkable. And what set me off is that she said this stuff is free.
Right.
So if it's free, then that means all we have to do is create a venue
and show up
and get people there. And so we got tons of space. We're gonna make that. We're gonna make that a priority and make
Look
it happen.
At God.
Absolutely.
Yes. There we go. Brett just told me the show got upgraded. Thank you. Thank you. I feel so much better. I appreciate you, Brett. So now we officially have the celebratory sound claps available. And so make sure you go check out the great work that Kingdom Life is doing. Front Nolly in the city of Philadelphia from 11 to 3, a major move to make sure that the community is taken care of. And before you start talking about, you know, some of the deeper issues of life, sometimes you just got to feed a few folk.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And just have a general conversation and say, hey, I appreciate you. I love you. I got your back.
Sure.
Right? And then you can get into those deeper things. But as you prepare to get into those deeper things, we need to talk about wealth. Right? And so Bernard and Joanna, we get them out to your community, to your schools. The programs are already in place. The expertise is already there. Just get them there and they will do the rest because they care and they're committed to the community. Make sure you talk to Tiara Council and Dito and the group that is behind her working to ensure that we have fresh food and fresh fruit in our community. We got to be like those bugs, right? I'm not touching that. I'm off that.
Wow.
And making sure that what we say no to, we have healthy replacements for. That's the show, Preparing for the Future. I'm really excited about you hanging with us today. Thank you to everyone who streamed with us on YouTube and on Facebook. Thank you for tuning in on the broadcast as well. Shout out to Lance, who handles social media and keeps you up to date in real time on the timeline. And to Ed, who's managing our AV. Brett's behind the board producing. I'm appreciative of y'all, man.
Oh, thank
I'm really excited. I'm really excited. Make sure you share this show, share it much, share it often, as we always say. And as always, feel beautiful, look beautiful, and act beautiful. Why? Because you truly are beautiful. We'll see you next week.